This is Jay Sekulow. The AG says expect the Mueller report within a week and an inspector general's report on FISA by May.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This process is going along very well. And my original timetable of being able to release this by mid-April stands.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think that from my standpoint, within a week, I will be in a position to release the report to the public, and then I will engage with the chairman of both judiciary committees about that report and about any further requests that they have.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So the Attorney General raised two interesting issues before a House subcommittee today, and that involved the expectation, which we've known for a couple of weeks now, that the Bob Mueller special counsel report would be delivered to the public, is what the Attorney General said, by the middle of this month. Expectations are that it would be probably sometime, I guess, next week. But also news came that there is an Inspector General's report due in May, so about 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, involving the FISA issue and the FISA abuse. That was a little bit of a news statement, and that is a big news. That's a big news item.
Yeah, that is. It's something we talked about extensively on the broadcast. We've talked about it a lot. We've gone through the potential abuses of FISA, really the origins of a lot of this. Remember Carter Page. You have to kind of remind yourself about the names involved, the unmasking involved in that. What was the basis for FISA? Was the Steele dossier? And this report, these Inspector General reports take a long time to come out and be put together. But the indication that we got today from the Attorney General that we will have a full report from the Department of Justice Inspector General on the was there the FISA abuse. They announced that they opened that investigation to look at the FISA process under Comey and under the previous administration that started all of this. And was the process abused? So I think that is going to be something to really look towards in May. It'll bring up that full cast of characters once again, the Jim Comeys of the world, the DOJ officials at the time, the Obama officials at the time. It involves a lot of that.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So the Mueller report is the special counsel investigation into Russian interference with the 2016 election. We know from Bob Barr's transmittal letter to Congress that what they call the principal conclusions of the report, the reports are indicated that it could be anywhere from 300 to 400 pages. So that's I don't know if that's with exhibits or does that include discussions of the indictments that have already come down. But whatever the content of it is, we do know two principal conclusions here, that there was in fact no collusion with the Russian government, with members of the Trump campaign or the president, and there was no obstruction as it relates to the ongoing investigation. Now, it's interesting that the way it was phrased on that aspect of it was that the special counsel did not make a final determination, or in the sense that he made a final determination by saying that they didn't have a showing of criminality as it related to the issue of obstruction, but they weren't exonerating either. But what's always interesting to me about that, Andy, is the special counsel's job is not exonerating. They either bring a case or recommend bringing a case, or they don't.
That's right. The job is to either decline prosecution or to prosecute, as he did with the other people. He prosecuted those who he felt had lied to them under 1001 and so forth. But in this case, he said that the findings were neutral and the decision was that of the Attorney General of the United States. And the Attorney General of the United States, rightly exercising his constitutional duty, said there was nothing there criminal with respect to obstruction of justice.
Yeah, and they say no obstructive intent, no underlying aspect of criminality. So what's interesting here, what will be interesting, is we'll see this report, we'll see what's in it, which is probably a summary of a lot of the evidence that was gathered for 21 months. Remember this. The president was the most transparent in history as far as providing information, witnesses, documents, unprecedented nature of disclosure that took place here. I don't think anybody can doubt that. But again, the two principal conclusions we know. As to the main item, the collusion, none. And up to the obstruction, no obstruction. That was the conclusion of the Attorney General and the deputy. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110 when we come back from the break.
Hey, At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. 1-800-684-3110. So what do we have today? The Attorney General said in front of a subcommittee of Congress, on the House, that he was going to have this report available, he said, within the week. So it leads to me to think that's probably, you know, Monday of next week, Friday of this week maybe, but probably more likely Monday or Tuesday of next week. And that there's an ongoing Inspector General's report as it relates to the issue of the FISA abuse and the FISA warrants. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. But, Harry, you made a really important point during the break. And I think it's worth talking to our audience about, again, and that the significance of this FISA investigation.
Jay, this investigation is extremely significant. First, for more than 2 years, the American people in general and specific individuals in particular, such as Carter Page, have been terrorized by the prospect of both unmasking and being targeted unjustly by FISA warrants. Keep in mind, FISA warrants were supposed to target foreign nationals. Second, we know that the foundation of the four FISA warrants in question targeted the Trump campaign, and that they were largely grounded in fictitious, fabricated evidence bought and paid for by members of the Democrat Party. Third, this entire story reflects an attempt first to prevent President Trump's election, and second, to hamper and impair his presidency. And fourth, we should note that former Attorney General Lynch and James Clapper participated arguably in a scheme to widely disseminate information that ought to remain confidential. Yep. And this was accompanied by massive leaks by Obama officials and former Obama officials. And so what we have set up is a situation whereby many individuals in the public could claim, based on FISA warrants unjustly issued, that President Trump's election was illegitimate. And that, I think, is a tragedy for the American people.
Representative Ederhold from Alabama asked that question about the whole investigation, where what it goes on from here. Take a listen, number 11.
My question is, now that President Trump has been exonerated of Russia collusion, is the Justice Department investigating how it came to be that your agency used a salacious and unverified dossier as a predicate for a FISA order on a U.S. citizen?
The
Office of the Inspector General has a pending investigation of the FISA process in the Russian investigation, and I expect that that will be complete in probably in May or June, I am told.
So that's what's going on there. Then he was asked as a follow-up question more about getting his hands around the counterintelligence aspect of this. Take a listen.
More generally, I am reviewing the conduct of the investigation and trying to get my arms around all the aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2016.
So it means also that it's not just the Inspector General, that kind of independent body within DOJ, but it's also the Department of Justice. I think you can definitely read that from the statement, is looking at Peter Strzok opening this investigation. That's what it goes to. And these disgraced officials, fired officials, people at the Inspector General's office, people at the FBI's personnel office said needed to go, Andrew McCabe, Strzok, that whole group is now back under review by the Inspector General doing it on their FISA application and the Department of Justice looking at the entire origins of this. So, it, I mean, I think that all this, in a sense, it plays together. It's all how we got to the point of a special counsel in the first place. I mean, so it starts before President Trump is elected. He then gets elected. It continues. And then you have ultimately a special counsel, the Jim Comey, all of that happening in between. But what we're kind of focusing on here is not the what was Jim Comey being fired. It's what was Jim Comey doing. Is what was Peter Strzok, it's not Peter Strzok being fired. It's what was he doing when he launched this? Was it purely politically motivated, as a lot of this aspect seems? Did they abuse the FISA process so that you can put all of that together? And DOJ is doing some of that, and then the Inspector General within the DOJ is doing that as well.
Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, I mean, it just points to the fact that in the last days of the Obama administration, there was a lot of malevolent political activity.
Remember that change in that executive order about unmasking?
Absolutely. Don't 17 different that. Agencies. Yeah,
I mean, that was changed literally with like 9 days to go in the administration. It was fine for the entire 8 years that President Obama was serving in office, but the last 9 days, they changed it.
Well, and there's no way not to believe that there was collusion on the part of these various agencies and the heads of those agencies, along with Samantha Powers and the Attorney General and others. And it's a shame, because the American people should be able to trust in their government. The FISA statutes are designed to protect U.S. citizens, and they use that system to surveil a U.S. citizen and apparently deceive the court. Because the court is so secretive, we don't even know what the reaction of the judges are to being deceived. But I expect that they are very angry and indignant, and I don't think we've heard the last of this.
I think Andy also, and we'll take a call in a moment here, 1-800-684-3110, but just focusing in on the IG aspect of this, which the Attorney General spoke about briefly, that is the whole basis upon which this Russia inquiry started. And I think you got to keep remembering that the basis upon which it started, the foundation of it, was incorrect, was not verified, was salacious, was fraught with problems. And we then had all the subsequent issues with the agents that were in charge of this. So you look at all of those issues, and you look at how this began, and that's why you got to keep focusing on two points. What were the principal conclusions? And we'll see the whole report next week. No collusion, no obstruction. And what the Attorney General said about the obstruction, there was no obstructive intent by what the president did or those around him did regarding, in my view, exercising his First Amendment free speech rights. That's how I view it.
Well, that's exactly right. You cannot have a criminal case unless you have criminal intent. And the Attorney General of the United States, exercising his constitutional function based upon the findings that Mueller and his team made, concluded that this was not a prosecutable case because the intent to commit a crime, namely obstruction of justice, was not there. And that's the function of the Attorney General. It was not the function of anyone other than that constitutional cabinet-level officer to make that judgment, and he made that judgment. And I think that's a judgment that continues to stand and will continue to stand as being the appropriate judgment in the case, right?
So, so everybody understands this. The American Center for Law and Justice sent to Samantha Power and one on Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, Valerie Jarrett, and Cheryl Mills, and these involved unmasking issues. And so this was basically involving this whole unmasking that Wes was mentioning. We sought the records of these individuals assessing unmasked names of Trump associates, personnel, or family. The document production, as of February of last year, the day in which the agency were ordered to produce at least 300 pages a day, went to court on that. Litigation going on there is the NSA filed its answer on August 18th, defending its refusal to comply with the statute. We then, the court ordered the parties to prepare a joint statement report, and on December 20th, 2017, we had a situation where the court ordered the case, and also eventually the documents started being produced. So that's an ongoing issue right now. Let's go ahead and take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Robert's calling from Maryland on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan, and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, once the Inspector General report comes out about the FISA court warrant abuses, what's going to be able to be done to remedy the FISA court warrant abuses, and also to tell us what the purpose is of the FISA court warrant process is as well? Because I know there's some controversy as to whether or not the National Security Agency has been engaged in a mass surveillance on American citizens without getting those warrants of being involved in either some type of terrorist activity, promoting terrorism, or being foreign nationals. And they're not only getting the date, the time of the calls that they've made and received, but also listening actually into the content of those telephone calls without that. And so I wanted to know if you knew if that was taking place and what your take on that is.
I think what we're going to see from that report is that whether there was specific abuses related to the matter involving Carter Page. So under those last, as we said, towards the end of the Obama administration, as they open up this investigation into what was the Trump campaign and then the Trump transition and then the Trump presidency. So you have the three stages there. And it kept continuing. So I think from that, what the report will say is, were there abuses? Now, the first thing you ask is, can people be held responsible? Department of Justice could bring prosecutions then based off that report. IG can't do it, but the DOJ certainly could order investigations of individuals based off the report, new criminal investigations, prosecutions could come to light. The second part is Congress getting the report. Ultimately, they could revise the law and how it impacts all Americans. Like, you went through that list. I mean, I think you could talk about this for an entire broadcast or more, but it's, in 2019, do we need to relook at what power we gave to the government under this, and does the FISA court need to be changed? Do we need to, and that actually falls, that burden falls on Congress. Congress has to actually decide. It's not DOJ or the executive branch saying, we have the power to do the surveillance. Congress gave the power to do it. So I think we're going to look at all that. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And two bits of news today from the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr. First is that the Mueller report will be released within a week. And now that's a report with the necessary redactions by law. So this is the public report. And the Attorney General testified today to a subcommittee in the House of Representatives that he believes that, that will be out within a week. He also, in responding to a question from a congressman, noted that the Inspector General's report on the FISA abuse, specific to FISA abuse, and this and Russia and Carter Page, remember all of that, that's expected in May or June, and that the Department of Justice is looking at the entire origins of the counterintelligence investigation of the what was initially the Trump campaign, the Trump transition, the Trump administration. Remember, the head of FBI counterintelligence was Peter Strzok, who gets fired by the FBI, and his boss, who gets fired by the FBI, and Andy McCabe, and Jim Comey. So, but it was Peter Strzok specifically. Remember, he went over for a period of time to the special counsel's investigative team and ultimately had to be let go from that team because of those text messages that were uncovered between him and Lisa Page, and not just their affair that they were having, but also what was really key there was what they were saying about the president, the derogatory remarks, the meeting in Andy's office, and the backup plans, things like that. So we know that the origins are there. We know FISA's involved. So we have these three different issues. The first one that the American people will see is next week, and that is the redacted Mueller report. And we've got a call. It's, I think, you know, taking these calls and questions, going through the process, is important. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Scott is calling in from Colorado online too. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Okay, guys. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jordan. Yeah, you touched on my question, Jordan, is, you know, the New York Times has reported that this Mueller report release by Attorney General Barr will be a redacted version, whereas Democrats are sort of demanding the whole release. Yeah. And implying in that some kind of guilt. There's still some sort of suspicion of guilt, of collusion with the Trump administration, if the full report is not released. But it's not true. It's, if it is any redaction, right, it's because of national security reasons. There's still some sensitive information in there.
Well, I mean, Attorney General Barr walked through the four basic categories. And you're right, Scott, that's part of it, is the national security intelligence. But there are other, by law, that he is not allowed to release publicly. The Department of Justice can't release. I mean, there's actual statutes on this, specific what you cannot release. He walked Congress through it again today. So about what must be redacted by statute, by law, not laws that he wrote, but by laws that Congress wrote. Here's the Attorney General discussing that.
Now, in my letter of the March 29th, I identified four areas that I feel should be redacted, and I think most people would agree. The first is grand jury information, 6E material. The second is information that the ICE, the intelligence community, believes would reveal intelligence sources and methods. The third are information in the report that could interfere with ongoing prosecutions. You will recall that the special counsel did spin off a number of cases that are still being pursued, and we want to make sure that none of the information in the report would impinge upon either the ability of the prosecutors to prosecute the cases or the fairness to the defendants. And finally, we intend to redact information that implicates the privacy or reputational interests of peripheral players where there is a decision not to charge them.
So there's the four categories. Let's walk through. I mean, because we hear these a lot. We've heard these a lot the last few weeks, actually. This grand jury information, Andy. When a statement's made like that, and the specific provision of 6E, I think that people keep hearing that, but they're not exactly sure what does that mean. That the grand jury info will be redacted.
Okay, I'll be specific about it. In the federal rules of criminal procedure, there is Rule 6, subsection E, which says information that was obtained in an investigation by means of the issuance of a grand jury subpoena, and that's either documentary evidence or testimonial evidence from people, is secret. and is not to be disclosed in any proceeding absent approval of a court upon petition made to the court and for good cause shown. So that's exactly what that means. Grand jury information is secret and is not subject to disclosure.
And of course, what is disclosed is anything that came out of the grand jury that ultimately led to an indictment that's public. I mean, so if it led to an indictment, this is the info that was either not utilized or decided by the special counsel not to be utilized court filings.
If the if there is an indictment returned, then the defendant and the public, because of the open and policy that we have with respect to criminal proceedings, then the defendant and the public would have the right to see all the information that pertains to that indictment. Otherwise, you don't disclose it. And that's not a rule that Attorney General Barr made up. That's not a rule that anybody made up other than Congress, which enacted the rules of criminal procedure and which the Supreme Court gave them the authority to do.
Yeah, and the other area, I'd go to Harry on this and then we'll circle back to the intel part, but these ongoing prosecutions along, I think that, again, that goes to the process, is that you're not going to disclose information if people are being prosecuted right now, and the matters that were fielded out from the special counsel, as the Attorney General said, that they gave to U.S. attorneys to handle. You can't disclose that information while the cases are ongoing either.
I think you're absolutely correct, and that rule makes all the sense in the world. In other words, you have an active prosecution, investigation that is ongoing. And so the Attorney General rightly doesn't want to disclose information, A, that will impair the investigation, and B, that will impair the constitutional rights of the defendant. So it's very, very possible that the Attorney General could release information which would then give the defendant or a future defendant grounds on which to contest any of the charges or any of the convictions. So I think part of the issue here is that you have House Democrats who have become, in my opinion, a bit hysterical about releasing the full report. And I believe that if the full report was released unredacted, then they still would not be satisfied. Because at the end of the day, their end game is focused on impairing President Trump's presidency and delegitimizing the election of 2016.
Now, the other part we see of this too, Wes, is intelligence information sources and methods. We hear that again all the time when we hear from executive branch officials, specifically in the security world, the intel world, that we're not going to disclose, you know, how information was perceived. Yeah. That's why that IG report on FISA, which is separate, is unique, because that is looking at that, actually.
Yes, it really is. Yeah, you do not want to reveal sources and methods. It not only gives away how you collect information, it gives away people whose lives can be put in danger from time to time. And also in this report, you know, from Mueller, the declinations, they don't need to be revealed. If you were not indicted or charged, you do not need your name dragged through the mud, because Congress wants to know. And they say, well, just give it to us. Well, Congress leaks like a sieve. Yeah. If they give it to Congress, the whole world will know.
And again, that's that fourth category he talks about. That, you know, there's privacy of American citizens, that if you were looked at in this, but there were no charges brought against you, that the government doesn't just come out and sully your name if it ultimately decided not to bring any charges against you. And so that was the fourth category. We have a second half hour coming up with Jay Sekulow Live. Israeli elections are today. Prime Minister Netanyahu on the ballot, as well as other parties. That's happening as we speak. We'll be right back with our second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. So what did we learn today from Attorney General Bill Barr? He's testifying before a congressional House committee subcommittee. Usually those aren't covered that extensively. And what this was really about was the Department of Justice budget. But we knew that there would be a lot of questions about the Mueller report. And what we learned from the Attorney General was that the report is expected within a week. Here's the Attorney General's own words, just to play that for people so they can hear him say it specifically, answer the question about this report, which it's clear, let me make clear, it's to the public, not just to Congress, that will ultimately be released to the public. So you will expect this as well.
This process is going along very well. And my original timetable of being able to release this by mid-April stands. And so I think that from my standpoint, within a week, I will be in a position to release the report to the public, and then I will engage with the chairman of both judiciary committees about that report and about any further requests that they have.
So that's the, again, that's the Mueller report to the public. So it's within a week. So, I mean, I think that, people can, this any time from now until the next, 7 days to expect this report. And it could be very extensive. Some reports have said it could be hundreds of pages as well to go through. So that's part one. Part two, it also announced today, and this is something new, that the Inspector General report on potential FISA abuses by the Department of Justice, that is coming in May or June. Take a listen.
My question is, now that President Trump has been exonerated of Russia collusion, is the Justice Department investigating how it came to be that your agency used a salacious and unverified dossier as a predicate for a FISA order on a U.S. citizen?
The Office of the Inspector General has a pending investigation of the FISA process in the Russian investigation. And I expect that will be complete probably in May or June, I am told.
So there you go. I mean, that is, again, that's on the FISA abuses. I mean, you look at that, Wes, that's going to go to specifically what we talked about. The beginning of this whole process was the Peter Strzok, the Andy McCabe's, what was being submitted to the FISA court to get the warrants initially on people like Carter Page.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you go through this whole corrupt process, it reads like a Tom Clancy novel. Quick summary. A FISA warrant basically was unwarranted. It was based on a dossier that they knew was not verifiable, that it was false. But the FBI launched a criminal investigation, even though they knew that the FISA warrant was not legitimate. And even though they knew, as Peter Strzok said to Lisa Page, there's no there, so he didn't even want to join the investigative team. But they launched the investigation anyway. Then not only did they try to interfere in a presidential election, but after the election was done, Comey and Strzok and others wanted to undo the American election. And that's obvious in some of the things that have been revealed. Then Comey leaks the material in order to manipulate what he had to know was false material, suspect evidence, in order to have a special counsel appointed. And so when Bob Mueller first started, his name was lauded and magnified. He was Saint Mueller. But now that the report doesn't give the Dems what they want, they simply discount his report. And now the Democrats not only are discounting the report, they're trying to mine anything they can for blatant political purposes. Yep. It just goes on and on. It doesn't stop. The American people should be insulted and incensed by this, the entire process.
All right, folks, we come back. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. During the break, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to get into some of the Israeli election that's happening today. Their election, they elect the party that in the setup that they have there, and then the party puts together a coalition government. I think as we have results, we can explain that more to people and we'll see if Prime Minister Netanyahu's party gets the first shot at putting together a coalition government, or will it be this second party, which is still kind of a center-right party? That's what's interesting here, is that the two leading parties in the race is not liberal and conservative. It's kind of conservative and then moderate conservative. So that's interesting. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
If you're listening to the radio broadcast in the traditional way, which most of our listeners are, and people participate, whether it's on AM, FM, or Sirius XM, we just played for our Facebook and Periscope audience a pretty extensive review in the news about the Israeli elections happening today. We talked about it last week, and we will discuss it more tomorrow because Israel still, as we're talking on the air, the Israelis are still casting their vote. It's an interesting process. You don't go and vote for a bunch of different people. What you're doing on this vote is casting a vote for a political party. It's a one branch of kind of a parliamentary system, and then whatever political party gets the most votes, and it won't be a majority likely, so it's not like a 51%. It's like whatever party gets the most votes can then has 45 days to put together a coalition so other parties can then join. And you get some pretty unique actors there as well. That's kind of how the cabinet is made up also. So you will definitely have from this election over these next 45 days put a kind of coalition put together. You will not have one party that just outright controls the executive branch in Israel. So you'll definitely have concessions that get made and unique groupings that come together as well and as in these coalition governments. So I think we'll get into that more tomorrow on the broadcast. Today, what we're really focusing in on is the kind of three big announcements from the Attorney General in his testimony before a subcommittee in Congress. The first was Mueller report within a week to the public. And he talked about the four areas that will be redacted. We've kind of discussed those, but the grand jury information, which is by law, intelligence, gathering sources and methods, anything that impacts an ongoing investigation or ongoing prosecution trial, because there were cases, special counsel's team transferred to various U.S. attorneys that are still being prosecuted. And then fourth is, in the United States, our government doesn't put out private information to just impugn people's reputation. I think this is another category, too, and it's important, is that the U.S. government's job is not to go out there and defame people.
That's right.
If they decided ultimately after a two-year investigation not to bring any charges against someone.
Well, you know, there's a rule in the Justice Department, in the U.S. Attorney's Manual, that you cannot name a person in an indictment as an unindicted co-conspirator. You either name him as a defendant or her as a defendant, or you don't. Because that, when you say so-and-so is an unindicted co-conspirator, you're casting an aspersion upon the character of that person and saying that we're not charging them, but we believe that they may have engaged in a conspiracy to violate the law. That's not permitted. And it's the same thing with this report. You have reputations and privacy interests of individual people who are peripheral third parties who are not criminally liable and who therefore are not to be put either in an indictment or to be disclosed in the report when it comes out.
All right. So, folks, I mean, that is, again, one area specific. Grand jury information. We talked about intelligence. We talked about the ongoing investigation. So that was announced. So that obviously is going to dominate next week. I think that, you know, reading into that statement, mid-April, within a week, that's next week. And again, so I think leading up to, it's going to probably happen before Good Friday, before Easter. So early next week or very late this week. And again, so that would be from the Department of Justice. We also heard from the Attorney General that we can expect in May or June, and he's been notified, that the Inspector General's Office at DOJ report on all the FISA abuse as well. That will be available to Congress and the American people. And this is going to be unique. I'll go to Harry on this and then Wes. This is unique because this gets really to origins of one, this whole investigation on Russia, but also the idea of whether or not the American people will feel like and put pressure on Congress to revise the FISA court process after what happened here with the Steele dossier and what we expect to learn from the IG, Harry.
I think that's correct. It's important to realize that the Mueller investigation consumed, according to news reports, between $25 and $35 million. And so that may not necessarily seem like a lot in terms of the size of the federal budget, but it is a lot of judicial and investigatory, if I can get the word out, resources. And so the Justice Department, because the Justice Department has indeed been working with Mueller's team, has been focused on this quote-unquote investigation rather than on other issues. So from an economic standpoint, we have an opportunity cost that has been lost by virtue of this investigation. And what has this investigation yielded? Essentially, the charges which were levied at the Trump administration were bogus from the start, and they were grounded in a salacious and unverified claim financed largely by the opposition party. And these charges were designed to impair and impede this particular president, and initially they were designed to prevent this president from taking office. And so we have seen at least the issuance of four FISA warrants targeting an American citizen grounded in fiction and fabrication. So that then calls forth, in my opinion, a re-examination of the FISA process. And one idea that is percolating among some experts is to allow an individual to essentially, not the target of the FISA warrant or potential FISA warrant, but an individual who is placed in a position that is very much like a guardian ad litem, who would stand before the FISA judge and contest the basis on which the warrant is being sought. It's important to note that roughly 99% of FISA applications are granted. Yep. So essentially, this is a pro forma thing. Once the FBI adduces some type of evidence and presents it to a judge.
Yes.
I think this has led to the abuse of citizens' constitutional rights within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment, and there may be other violations as well, but it needs to stop.
What I also heard from the Attorney General, if you listen closely, Wes, was that it's not just going to be the IG report in May or June, and it's not just going to be the Mueller report, but the Department of Justice is looking at the entire origins.
Yes.
So not just FISA, but the entire origins of the counterintelligence investigation. That's Peter Strzok that was open on the Trump campaign that led to ultimately the special counsel in the first place.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the IG report says, because based on what we know now, this has never happened in America. the Department of Justice, some of their people, and the FBI sought to interfere in an election, and they started that interference by deceiving a federal judge. And then after the election takes place, even though they know that the dossier, you know, was basically false, and that there is, as Peter Strzok said, no there as far as Russian collusion and all that kind of thing, knowing all of that, they still launched a counterintelligence investigation basically on a sitting president of the United States. That this is just shocking. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, when we, we're going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We're trying to walk people through it because a lot of what is coming out that came out of the Attorney General, and he, again, not really specific on the Mueller report except for what he has to redact, which is, again, this grand jury information. We've tried to explain that for people. And again, if you're still questioning it, put it in Facebook. We can go through it again. The information involving that we don't just come out and put out nasty information about the American about Americans or people who may have been investigated, but no charges were brought against them. Again, ongoing trials and prosecutions. You don't put out information about that. And intelligence sources and methods. So that's the kind of consistency. That being said, there's still potential for a lot of information. We could be looking at, Andy, what is hundreds of pages.
From what we hear, it's 300 or 400 pages of report. It could be the exhibits. It could be the narrative. We're not sure, but it's a voluminous report. But for heaven's sake, it went on for 22 months, so he must have produced some kind of paper in the report that we can look at. And examine, but he's got to take out the things that need to be taken out by law. That I'm talking about Attorney General Barr. He's taking out the grand jury information, national security details that refer to sources and methods, because you could have, people could die if you disclose their name, and they were the ones who gave information, and they're in a compromising position. Ongoing investigation similarly could be compromised. And again, mainly, and this is what really bothers me, innocent people's names should not be thrown around.
No, I mean, this is, again, folks, I think this was kind of the information. And again, all of that, with all the statutes governing it, that Congress and these specific House, the committee chairs, could still go to a court and say, okay, but we want to get this, and they can make their case to a judge to try and get some exception to the rule, to the statute. We come back, we're going to get a live report on what's happening in Israel during their election. So we'll get that report to you as well. It's ongoing as we speak, the election day in Israel. And continue to take your phone calls on the report, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In just a minute, we're going to go to Johnny Daniels, who joined us in the studio last week for an update on what is happening in Israel, what he's hearing about the election, which people are voting right now. And I want to take, though, the kind of final call on what we expect next week, which the Attorney General announced the Mueller report released to the public next within a week. Nancy's calling from California on line one. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, fellas. I believe that the AG report will be very generic. It will show nothing, no foul, just like the supposed Clinton investigation. And I'm sad to say it, but our country is more worried about its reputation than it is about the American people.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, if we're talking about hundreds of pages, Andy, there could be, as the Clinton report, information that may be salacious, but again, not that didn't lead anywhere.
That's right. I mean, there could be a lot of information that you would just pant after when you're reading it,
yeah,
and that you just say, oh, this is wonderful and juicy, like a good divorce case, and judges who like to sit on them like to hear those, but it doesn't mean anything. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't mean anything. There is nothing that came out of it. It's not important. It's not significant. And that information, I think the Attorney General will probably redact and take away from the report because it doesn't add anything to the narrative.
Yeah, I mean, generic and bland, I don't think, again, I think that if you're based off the four pages, that's one thing, but if it's hundreds of pages, I think that, again, it gives political, obviously these members of Congress, you could see where they try to take things. We'll know. I mean, it's within a week. Johnny Daniels is joining us right now. Johnny was chief of staff to the deputy speaker of the Knesset in Israel, who is now the U.N. ambassador for Israel to the U.N., Danny Danone. So he's been involved in Israeli politics at the highest levels. He is the executive director of From the Depths, the organization we talked about extensively last week, and that's fromthedepths.org. He's joining us now. And Johnny, let's give people an update as Israelis are voting right now on what is kind of being reported out of Israel.
Hi, well, thank you so much for having me again. What we're seeing in Israel today is really pretty interesting. There's this kind of strange phenomenon that the heads of all the parties running around saying, we're losing, come vote for us. You have 39 parties running today. The ballots are crazy. Everybody's running around. Everybody's pushing for everybody. The voter turnout is not high in terms of Israeli politics, so we're looking close to 60% at this hour, with the ballots closing in about 3 hours' time. So, you know, there's this final push and surge to try and get people out. Prime Minister Netanyahu's claiming that 61% of the voters are voting for the left wing, meaning he's going to lose. But we've seen these tactics in the past, you know, just trying to motivate the base and get people out voting.
I saw a report, actually, it was interesting, Johnny, that the prime minister is actually at a beach, visit a beach to encourage people, because this is a holiday, right? The election day, unlike the U.S., in Israel, and it's been discussed here a lot, and maybe that would encourage voter turnout, but it is a holiday, so people, Israelis are at the beach. The prime minister went there and said, you better make sure that you cast your votes today.
Correct. I mean, he's been at the beach, he's been all through different cities, markets, everywhere you can imagine, playgrounds, grabbing parents and saying, go vote, take your children, show them what a beautiful democracy we live in, and show them how the voting system works. And I think that this is helping. As you can imagine, everybody's having a nice day. It's beautiful weather in Israel today, which also encourages people to go out, maybe somewhere away from their town, where they have to vote. You have to vote in your local district, wherever you're being sent to. And so I think what we're going to see, and what we tend to see, is a real jump and a spike in the amount of people coming out to vote within the last 2 hours. Last year, we saw 9.6% of the voters came within the last 2 hours.
Wow.
So the numbers will increase as the day goes. Parents putting their kids to sleep, switching, you know, between the parents, the mothers with the kids and the dads with the kids, and one each other goes and votes. But we are going to see a relatively high turnout. And the way it's looking right now, Prime Minister Netanyahu feels kind of safe.
And do you think, I mean, tonight, you know, in the U.S., where the, you know, is, do you think we'll get results, or with 39 parties and these, you know, the paper ballot system, is it something more likely tomorrow that you find out who gets the main coalition?
You know, we're going to have a, I mean, tonight, you know, people will be starting, you know, there's always polls at stations when they're asking people who they're voting for, but we all know what that's like. People tend to lie. We saw in here in the United States very clearly how pollsters can get things incredibly wrong. So, you know, if you want to rely on that, you're going to know a little bit of information this evening. But within the next 24 hours, we'll have a very clear idea of who the winning party was and also how the country voted. You know, because at the end of the day, with so many parties, it really depends whether people voted for right-wing parties or left-wing parties or centrist parties or Arab parties or religious parties as to how a potential coalition could be built. And if we see a strong push and a strong swing to the left, then Prime Minister Netanyahu will not be able to build a coalition. However, the way everything is indicated at the moment, it looks like we're going to be heading towards the right, and please God, towards another 4 years of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
To tell people quickly, too, about your organization From the Depths. We'll try to get you on tomorrow after the results come out, but just to let people know about what you're doing now that you've stepped out of direct politics in Israel and at FromTheDepths.org.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. So what we're doing at the moment is the foundation works in Eastern Europe and Israel and the United States, and with a real focus on Holocaust memory and memorial and Holocaust education, with looking at the stories and the positive stories connected to this most dark and difficult time of that history. So we have a real focus on these remarkable Christians, these righteous amongst the nations, non-Jews who risked their lives to save Jews during the Second World War, during the Holocaust. And we help them on a day-to-day basis with a free car service. We record them and tell their stories and do everything to enable future generations to understand what it is to be right and do the right thing and stand up and be good in dark and difficult times.
So that is FromTheDepths.org. They really are doing incredible work in a place that needs it. We're seeing shifts as well. That's Johnny Daniels is joining us live. We'll try to get Johnny on tomorrow as well to analyze what exactly happens as the Israelis are still going to vote as we speak, as we're live on the air. And, of course, the implication it had, this is our number one ally. This is an election up to the Israeli people. And it's kind of two leading candidates, obviously Prime Minister Netanyahu, and then you have this other party that was formed of former military leaders. And then you've got parties more to the left, parties more to the right. I mean, there's 39 political parties. Some that are very religious-focused, some that are very secular, that then have to put up a coalition. So no one is going to get probably more than like 35 or 36% of the vote. So whoever gets that the highest amount will then get an opportunity to put together a coalition within 45 days. If they can't, then it goes to the next party. I mean, it's a different than what we get used to here with the certainty and uncertainty of elections. So we will update all of you about that as well tomorrow on the broadcast. So stay tuned for that as well. And we'll continue to analyze. Again, I don't think we're going to hear much more from the Attorney General until the report comes out now. Andy, just quickly, I mean, he said this within a week. This was the big testimony today. That's as much as we got and what would not be in it, which he was specific about.
He said what he's not going to have in, and I think he's probably going to get the report out. I bet you it comes out on Monday. It's certainly next week is the Latin, as I've been, because of being Greek Orthodox. It's not Easter for us until April 28th, so I think he'll get it out sometime before the Western Good Friday, which is on April the 19th, so that everyone can digest it, Passover and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think when you look at next week, you look at the holidays, you look at the government coming from the DOJ, he said within a week, and this is Tuesday. So, again, that is there. We'll update you on the Israeli elections tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live. Have a great day.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.